Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 83. In this episode, I'll discuss an article on the pharmacodynamics of a fluid challenge, answer the drug information question, why is epinephrine added to lidocaine for injection, and share a resource for staying up to date with FDA safety information. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode83. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. The Pharmacy Nation Slack group is a free community with other pharmacists collaborating using real-time messaging. I invite you to join me and the hundreds of other Pharmacy Nation members there. You can sign up at pharmacynation.org. The article for today's show is titled Pharmacodynamic Analysis of a Fluid Challenge. The lead author is Holman Aya, and this was published in Critical Care Medicine, May 2016. Earlier in my career, I didn't pay close attention to IV fluids. As I discussed in my episode on treatment of sepsis and septic shock at pharmacyjoe.com/episode42, despite a lack of focus on IV fluids in my training, I've learned to treat them as a medication that requires a specific dose to be effective. So, of course, the title of this article, Pharmacodynamic Analysis of a Fluid Challenge, caught my eye. The authors of the study perfectly summarized the fluid challenge by saying, "The administration of IV fluids is essential for the management of critically ill patients. To reduce any undesirable effects from the inappropriate use of fluids, the fluid challenge technique has been recommended and it is one of the commonest interventions in intensive care. A fluid challenge is a test in which a small bolus of IV fluid is given over a short period of time to assess hemodynamic response, and it is considered as the gold standard test for assessment of fluid responsiveness." The study was performed to describe the pharmacodynamics of a fluid challenge over a 10-minute period in postoperative patients. The study was a prospective observational study in 26 postoperative general and cardiothoracic ICU patients. A 250 ml fluid challenge was performed over 5 minutes. Data were recorded over 10 minutes after the end of infusion. The predicted maximal effect on cardiac output was observed at 1.2 minutes in responders. After 10 minutes, there was no evidence of a difference between responders and non-responders for any hemodynamic variable. The authors concluded the maximal change in cardiac output should be assessed 1 minute after the end of the fluid infusion. The effect of a fluid challenge on hemodynamics is dissipated in 10 minutes similarly in both groups, that is, responders and non-responders. The drug information question for this episode is, why is epinephrine added to lidocaine for injection? When this question came up, my colleagues were debating whether the purpose of adding epinephrine to lidocaine was to reduce bleeding or prolong the effects of lidocaine. The answer we found was to prolong the effects of lidocaine. And here's what we found from a 2003 study in rats published in the journal Anesthesiology. Adding epinephrine to lidocaine solutions increases the intensity and duration of sciatic nerve block in the rat. The early increase in intensity is not matched with an increase in intraneural lidocaine content at these early times, although the prolonged duration of block by epinephrine appears to correspond to an enlarged lidocaine content in nerve at later times, as if a very slowly emptying effector compartment received a larger share of the dose. The increase in early analgesia without increased lidocaine content may be explained by a pharmacodynamic action of epinephrine that transiently enhances lidocaine's potency, but also by a pharmacokinetic effect that alters the distribution of the same net content of lidocaine within the nerve. And the resource for this show is something I use to stay up to date with medication safety warnings from the FDA. I simply subscribe to their MedWatch alerts, and I have a link to it in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode83. Now, before doing this, providers and patients would often ask me questions based on news articles describing recent FDA safety warnings, and I would be in the dark about it. Now I receive the safety information the same time as the media, so I'm no longer caught off guard with such questions. The FDA offers dozens of different alerts, so when you sign up, be sure to do so only for alerts that are relevant to you, lest you get FDA alert fatigue in your inbox. Listeners can support the show when they shop using my link to Amazon. It will cost you no extra money, and I will receive a small commission from Amazon. Just use my link, pharmacyjoe.com/shop, to take you to Amazon each time you shop. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.